Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. More than once, she has been the number one realtor in the entire state of Hawaii. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Randy. How are you?
I'm cold.
Cool. Oh, you're cold. Oh.
I'm cold. I'm in Northern California.
Yeah.
It's cold.
Well, it's a good time of year to be cold with the wet, with the snow, if you get any snow for Christmas, right?
Yeah, and I shouldn't complain, because I know it's cold often where you're at as well, and so that's why you go back and forth a lot, and I get that.
Yeah, I'm ready to go back right now. It's like a little too cold. But no, it's so pretty when it's Christmassy, though, and it gets cold,
yeah.
Huh? Like it's
yeah.
That time. It's the season. It's a little
it
different.
Is.
Yeah, I've learned that if you layer up in the cold, you can handle it more, because we people who have been in warm tropical islands for years and years tend to, I think our blood gets thinner. I really do. I think we just get so used to the warm weather. I swear to God, I think it's hard. And women, our skin's thinner than men's, right? So we already have that against us as far as needing to layer up.
Yeah, women, Monica's the only person I know. Literally, we're driving around in the car living in Hawaii, and she's got a blanket.
Aww.
I'm like, really? Are you cold?
Aww.
You know. Just,
that's awesome. Yeah, right, because it's just you really get, I always need like to go in the theater, you know, or the to see a movie in the air conditioning and have to have something on because it's just too cold. Too cold.
Yeah, and that's her as well. So anyway, enough complaining and crying about the weather. You know, we're going to have somebody on in the second half hour who is going to warm us up because we'll think Hawaii. David Allaire is the retired Senior Vice President of Hawaii Operations for TS Restaurants. And TS Restaurants is a group of them, several of them, in California and Hawaii. And if you've been to Hawaii, you've been to one of his restaurants, Duke's or Kimo's. You know, there's several others, the Hula Grill.
Wow, yes, absolutely. They're wonderful.
On and on. So he's going to be with us in the second half hour here in, about 30 minutes, and we'll be... If you want to hear about a success story, this is going to be one that you're going to enjoy listening to because I sat with him at lunch one day at Kimo's in Lahaina and for about an hour and a half just heard the story of how he came to Hawaii, to Maui, how they began the restaurants, and why they're such a success and why they've been such a success. And it's all about how they treat people, and it gets back to his faith in God. And so we're going to come full circle
with
all of the above in the second half hour. Cannot wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Now, in the first half hour, we're going to talk about, and I love this because this is normally the way we sign off the show, we wish you peace, but what we're going to do is break that down and say last-minute attitudes and write-offs, I like that, to relax you through the new year. So I'm loving that.
Yeah, it's all about attitude, and since we're at this time of year, at the end of the year and the holidays, and I just thought we'd be good to do this, and then some of the write-offs are write-offs you can use in real estate and other things, too.
Write-offs.
Right on to the write-offs. And just make it. And, you know, this time of year, it's supposed to be to give back and share, and I just wish we could do what we aim to do during the holidays every day of the year. That would be wonderful. And you know how you and I, we always say we wish you peace, because I think peace and love is what we need the most in the world. And right now with the hustle and bustle and the stress, it's just, wanted to mention, you know, lots of times people think, oh, I've got to go take a vacation, I have to have 10 days off, or I have to take a week off, and they don't realize you can take a two-minute vacation.
There you go.
And lower your blood pressure.
Yeah.
And it, we'll tell you about that in a little bit. You know, there's, you know, we can always chunk things down and give ourselves more peace, you know, no matter what's going on. And sometimes we are in this world of information overload, and you saw how North Korea just is working on their nukes. I mean, whatever. There's so many things going on around the world, and they keep talking about the fiscal cliff, and I just get so tired of hearing about it because you know they're going to come to some resolution and then start cheering on like it's this big deal at the end. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's just so annoying because the writing's on the wall and everything's done with this stage presence and you know, and all this stuff. But when we see all this coming at us every which way, all these different directions, you can start off with a great day and end up being pretty stressed out, right, if you don't take it a certain way.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, and I wanted to talk about the holidays. I mean, holidays are wonderful for many people, and they're also horrible for some, you know. So,
Yeah,
we just wanted to kind of throw things back around. And you know, we're at the end of the year, so things are tapering off for real estate. And, you know, I know, like with me, this year I didn't really want to celebrate Thanksgiving. My birthday's within the week. And then Christmas, because my brother died last January, and so for me the holidays it is really kind of somber right now, and then of course my son's 33, so we are still going to have holidays, but and he understands too and how it feels, and you know, it gives you empathy because you can see where they are good times, bad times, and it's all really in how we look at it, right, and how we have to deal with it. And I think one of the things that's really important is to deal with it and say, it's okay to say, I don't want to celebrate it this year because of X, Y, and Z. And people say, well, you shouldn't do that. That's not right. Why isn't it right? I'm old enough to do what I want to do. Why isn't it right? You see what I mean? And so we kind of go through, like, I can see all these different things happening constantly, and we really need peace, and we need to chill out, and we need to relax. And the key to relaxing in peace and chilling out isn't taking a pill, getting a drink, going doing some drugs, right? It's not, that's what I think our society in different places and people with different stress levels end up grabbing to and gravitating to. And I'm not meaning to sound negative, Randy, because I do this on our show a lot. I'll dig in and just get into these subjects. And you know, I was reading something the other day that pharmaceutical overdoses is like one of the leading causes of deaths right now. It's like thousands because people aren't thinking they'll die from it, and then they mix it with alcohol, and the doctors aren't really keeping up on what's going on. And then before you know it, something happens, some tragedy, right? So
yep.
We have all this stuff going on all the time, and I subscribe to happynews.com because they give you, like, they refuse to tell you all this bad stuff going on in the world, and it's called happynews.com. And then, unfortunately, the ratings aren't way up because too many people want to hear the bad stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you know, so it's really an interesting, I just thought, you know, we were going to do the show today on, you know, how to get through real estate when everything's so tough and the things are changing and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, when you want to quit, and it's like, it's the holiday season, let's pull back and give some tips that might help somebody out there to just kind of have peace and chill out and realize that it's all okay and it's going to work, you know. And so we wanted to mention some things, and I'll tell you about the two-minute vacation in a little bit. And the, you know, write-offs and things you can do. And we're also going to talk a teeny little bit about meditating.
Okay.
And how that really brings your blood pressure down and how it really, really, really helps you. And those of us who do that, do it a lot, think, you know, don't even realize. I've talked to a lot of people that never meditate ever. Like, do you meditate, Randy?
Absolutely. My wife and I in the mornings, literally before we pray even, or before we do anything else, read the Bible or do anything, we take 20 to 30 minutes, and we try and do it every day. We end up doing it maybe three times a week, but we call it soaking. But it's the idea again of just being silent and allowing. When I say soaking, where we come from is we not only want to get centered and silent, but we want to allow the Holy Spirit to kind of just soak. You know, kind of soak our minds and spirits. And so we literally just, and it's very difficult. We'll play some what we call soaking music, some worship instrumental music, and we'll just be silent. And it is so hard to do. It is so difficult. But the days that we do it, you're right, man. It's worth that 20 minutes or 30 minutes for sure.
Do you sit up when you meditate or do you lay down? Not that it matters.
You know what? We've done both.
We've
done both. Early in the morning, I find if I lay down, I might nod off. And so depending on how early it is. But we like to sit up and, center
that's,
ourselves.
That's so cool because everybody does different. I like to lay down and I like to listen to music or certain types that, like, they're actually centered on meditating. And it's so cool. It's so cool to do. You feel that difference, right, in your body. You feel the rest of your day. Doesn't it kind of focus you and centers you a little bit to be a little bit more peaceful?
Oh, it absolutely does. And you can do that during the day, and I know you're going to talk about that a little later. But
it's so cool. It's just so so neat. I didn't know you meditated. It's so cool because it's like if you can think peace and love, and and try to look at our lives that way. It's really difficult because things come thrown at us. But the meditating is so amazing. It's proven that it reduces our blood pressure. It balances us. They talk about meditating in the Bible. So many things have come to people either when you're dreaming or you're meditating. And a lot of times people think you have to empty your mind and clear your mind, and you really don't have to do that to meditate at all. Once you get used to it, you'll just start enjoying the peacefulness of meditating. And I came across this Bill Harris a few years back. He's got a site called centerpoint.com. And that's CENTERPOINTE, it has an E on it, .com. And they'll send you a CD for meditating if you want for free. And then they have other products you can purchase. But they've actually been working for years on this type of technology that actually gets in and assists with your brain waves, and the patterns and the different sounds and techniques that actually start assisting you to heal, to get benefit. And it's really cool. It's really neat. And I've noticed a huge difference if I do meditation 30 minutes a day, every day, or I don't. And I noticed with my brother passing away last year, this has been one of the worst years of my life, and Randy. And I've gone through all the motions of the grieving and punishing myself and all these things that I shouldn't have put myself through, but I love him so much. I did it, and it really gives you empathy on seeing how people can do this or do that. And I skipped my meditating so many times in the past year when I never used to at all. I skipped vitamins, I skipped meditating, skipped all kinds of things because I just felt so horrible. I didn't care. And when you start getting back into it, it's pretty amazing how well it works. And it's different for everybody, but if somebody's never meditated and they want to look at it, you can go to centerpoint.com and read about some of it. And I like to do it late at night, like tonight before going to bed, or do it in the morning. But it doesn't matter, when you do it. It's just the calming effects it has because it's relaxing your body. It's really giving you peace. And
that's one way, as you say. You talk about taking a 2-minute vacation, but that's one way. That's one way to do it. Literally during the day when you start to feel, hectic, is okay. Time out.
That's what I've learned, say you're going in an elevator, right? And people think, you can actually take a mini vacation in that elevator. Say you have to go to the 25th floor. Literally, it doesn't mean you're sitting here talking a bunch of, lots of times elevators there aren't a lot of people in the elevator. You just sit there and you close your eyes and picture yourself on a beach or wherever you want to be on vacation. Some people might want to be skiing. They might want to be wherever they would really like to go. And close your eyes and just practice for that little bit of time. And it's amazing when you do those things how you're like, wow, that just felt really good. And you only spent a minute, right? So let's try some real quick. If you're in the car, don't do this. Do this later. But real quick, because, of course, time goes by so fast, and we want to give you the tidbits for the end of the year and on how you can save money and utilize your monies. And your accountant's probably already done this, and many people, but we still go over it. So, Kate, let's do something real quick. And just take a real deep breath. We're going to do close your eyes, not if you're driving, and take inhale. And take a real, real deep breath and try to hold it for 10 seconds. Go as deep as you can. 1, 2, 3, 4. some people, if you're not used to this, you might have to quickly let it out so you can breathe. But let it out. Relax. And do it again. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Let it out. How does that feel? Did you do it, Randy?
Yes, yeah.
Does it feel a little relaxing?
Yeah, it does. It physically, there's a physiological change that happens when you do that. Absolutely, absolutely. And
it's relaxing.
I think a lot of people give up on meditating. And again, as Christians, we're told all throughout the Bible to meditate on the Word, to, you know, to be still and know that I am God, and all of those, you know, commandments, if you will, not just recommendations, but commandments. And this is a way to, you know, if you're struggling with that, this is a way to do it.
It doesn't have to be, you know, there's not all these major rules, you know, it's for you. But when we took the 10, now if you do that and you do 10 times, and and you do it, you know, a couple times a day, you're going to see a difference in your blood pressure, and you're like, wow, you can't help but slow down a little bit and relax. And the meditating is amazing. And I love listening to it, and I love, like, laying back and doing it, but, you know, laying down. But it's amazing, Randy. You're doing it, and you've always done it, and there's so many people out there that have never done it, and they don't even think to do it, you know? It's amazing how much it can relax your body.
Yeah.
And take that two-minute vacation in an elevator or anywhere else, and you can do it. People could be in an office, and it's hustle-bustle, and they're like, I'll be back. I'm taking a break. And they go take a 10-minute break, and then they just go sit off somewhere quietly and even sit, you know, and do it for 2 or 3 minutes and take deep breaths. And then, or if they have the music and they take their iPod or their CD player or whatever, you know, and listen and just relax. It doesn't mean you have to empty your mind completely. That's not what you have to do. You'll find after a while you're putting your mind on the beautiful things and peace and serenity and maybe waterfalls or a beach, and not so much about what do I have to make for dinner or how am I paying this bill or what do I have to work on this deal or how do I figure this out or da 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 da. You know, you'll find you'll learn to quiet it. It doesn't mean you're not going to think of anything, but you're going to start thinking of peaceful things and what works for you. So it's pretty cool. Now, on the end of the year write-offs, we're kind of flying through here because it just goes by so fast. For example, if you're in business or not in business, there's some deductible items that you can take before the end of the year, like, you know, going to the dentist, using up your deductibles on your health insurance. If you haven't used it up, but you know there's something you need to do, go to the dentist, go to the doctor, have a minor surgery. We don't want to rush you into a surgery, but if there's something that, you know, say you had a $2,000 deductible and you haven't used any of it, you may want to get that done now before January 1st comes. You can also pay down on your mortgage, but if you're doing it to get the write-off against your income, you have to pay on the interest, not the principal. Principal's not going to be a write-off. You may have different repairs that you have to pull together that you didn't get done on your rental properties or other properties, and you want to get that in line for the end of the year. If you have a 401k and you have extra income, you may want to put that in there now to get the write-offs. You could need a computer or a tape player or anything for the business that's going to be needed, a printer or supplies, even toner or anything you need. Go get it now if you have the extra cash to do it and then be able to write it off, you know. Your accountant can tell you the maximum of how many thousand it is to be able to write off on equipment. You can donate to charity, but make sure it's a 501c3 so that you can take a write-off. You can just many different things that you can do, and then someone might say, well, I don't have the income or the money to do this, but you want to look at things that if you're going to be spending the money anyhow in January and February, because these are must-dos, like getting your teeth, you know, something with your teeth or something that you need to go to the doctors about, and you have a deductible, you might not have thought about that, go ahead and use it now. You know, there's just so many things that you can do to take advantage of it now. And defer income. Some people are getting commissions, or they're getting paid, and maybe they're already hit their plateau, and they're supposed to get paid in the end of December, and they can ask the company to pay them January 1st instead of December 25th. That's not cheating taxes or cheating the IRS because you're going to pay on it next year, right?
You're delaying it, yeah.
but you're delaying it in a good way because if right now you – like if you didn't make hardly any money this year and you're not going to need the write-off, then take it now, right?
Yeah.
If you made the extra money and you're going to need more write-off, take it in January, you know? So there's just a lot of little things you can look at that sometimes people aren't even thinking about because they get so busy. They're not seeing, you know, where it makes the benefit. I know I've always found with equipment, with businesses, when it's a must-do and a must-have, and, you know, it's good to go ahead and take the write-offs at the end of the year, you know, and yeah, we're almost finished. I wanted to go over some other things about peace and gifts and Christmas and holidays, and lots of people are selling Hanukkah, celebrating Hanukkah, not selling, celebrating Hanukkah, celebrating Christmas. Kwazan? There's so many. Oh my gosh,
Kwanzaa?
I should have Kwanzaa. Yeah, there's so many holidays that we're not even. We don't want to be disrespectful. I should have pulled a list of all the holidays because there's so many now. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, that. So whatever your holiday is. But, you know, there's a lot of little things that happen. Like everybody's stressing out. Maybe they're scrubbing their houses or having housekeepers come in or other people aren't and they're getting ready for Christmas parties or, you know, just different things for celebrations. And some people stress out so badly. Like with the house, people coming in for a party, it's more important for it to be picked up and orderly than just spotless. They're not going to notice if it's spotless or not, you know. So some people may drive themselves crazy trying to do something that no one's really going to notice. You know, it's really about, like, what's the benefit of having this great Christmas holiday, holidays, Hanukkah, you know, all the celebrations if you're just miserable and you can't wait for it to be over, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of thing. Just like everybody says, well, you have to give presents. Presents are more personable, personal. They're going to, you know, it shows so much effort. Well, somebody may not have, if, you know, of course with little ones we have, you know, if they believe in Santa or different things, there's different times of your life and different family members you may have to do certain things for. But there is nothing wrong with people giving gift certificates and picking out a beautiful sentimental card. You know, a lot of people love Macy's. Macy's is a great store that has so many different items, and you can give a gift certificate. There's many, many other stores, and they get to pick out what they want, and you can spend the sentimental time picking out a beautiful card that just fits them to the T, maybe writing them a nice letter in the card or a note in the card, and saving yourself so much time, so much aggravation. I don't know who likes this, I don't know who that. Then you've got a gift wrap, then you're going. These are just tidbit ideas that you might think, I could never, never do that. That would be offensive. It's not.
No,
it's not, no. You know, and these are just little things that, and then a lot of people, how many people you go buy them gifts and they have that look on their face like, oh, God, they don't want to tell you they don't like it, but like, okay, thank you, you know, and it's kind of, you know, and then, but how many people really give cards these days that are so mushy and sentimental that fit the person to what you really think, you know, that you could take your time in the card aisle, not just the digital cards that people are sending out or the other ones, you could take your time and find, you know, 10 cards for 10 people that mean so much and then give the gift certificates and have everything so beautifully. Your time's not wasted. You're not stressed. And everybody's going to be so happy because they got something really that touched their heart.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a teaching moment, too. It's literally, if you're a parent or a grandparent, it's a teaching moment to be able to say, you know what? I know we all watch these commercials and we see the diamond rings and the, you know, the big cars and the stuff everybody's getting for Christmas, and then we feel bad about that and I can't gift that for you. What kind of parent am I?
Right.
And you just kind of go, you know what? My gift is literally this: us being together is the best gift, and mean that. And I'm not saying don't give gifts, but I'm saying, like you say, prioritize it. And it could be a teaching moment for your kids and grandkids. Absolutely.
Well, the little ones tend to know what they want. You know, they have their Santa list. So that may be a little, you know, but you can do so much, right? Or you could actually, you know, even pay someone to go shopping for you to do certain things. But I think there's just so many, when you look at the holidays and so much that can be done, you see so many people stressing when there's so many ways to keep it simple. And, you know, people want to come to be around you. They're not going to care if everything's perfect, you know, every second. And, You know, I know there's situations where people have to do that. They wouldn't be happy if they didn't have any other ways. But it, we just, you know, we always put these things out there. I think it's just, it's about the season, right, and having peace and putting love out there. And you're right, it's an excellent teaching lesson. You ever see how somebody does things and then someone else goes, I could have never done that. Oh, my gosh, my family taught me for years, you just absolutely do not do this. And, wow, it really was kind of neat, and let me try it. And, you know, we kind of have to allow ourselves to relax and go with the moment and do it and you know, not be the, not worry about it.
Yeah,
so.
And, you know, I think a lot of us parents, you know, and I'm one, you know, but over the years you've made mistakes, and around the holidays, for whatever reason, a lot of some of this stuff gets swirled up and, you know, and bubbles up, and then all these emotions, and so many people during the holidays, it's stressful. But like you said, learning how to meditate, learning how to, you know, really let go of all those things and meditate on the Word. I found that to be true. When you meditate on the Bible and the Word of God, and, you know, Philippians 4:8 talks about, you know, think on these things, whatever is noble, true, trustworthy, you know, think on these things. And you know, boy, that's a whole nother show about how we cultivate a mindset. But we're told to do that in the Bible. We're told to, it's a command. And so how do we do that? Well, we practice. We get better at thinking and letting go. I heard a Catholic priest one time say, you know what, our thoughts are kind of like on a conveyor belt, right? All day long, we get hundreds and thousands of thoughts all day long. And we literally can choose which ones we kind of stop the conveyor belt and think about and contemplate, or we can, you know, we can just let them go on by. And boy, that even that visual for me helped me a lot of, wow, yeah, it's a conveyor belt. I do get all these thoughts, but which ones, you know, do I want to think about, which ones do I want to just let move on?
You know, well,
line?
Think about, like, years ago, we wouldn't, everything had to be, pies had to be homemade, food was homemade, everything was homemade, and we still love really good homemade foods. And years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to buy a TV dinner. Oh, my, that's just out of the sight. I'm not, we were cooking, you know, meals where I'd have eight, like, cook a turkey and then making pot pies out of it, or other meals, or cook huge meatball and spaghetti the Italiano real way, and then have 8 or 10 meals that way so that they were home-cooked meals, you know, just, and now people have things, I mean, they're just phenomenal things that can be done that we would not have allowed ourselves to do, you know, and it's easy, and it makes it simple. But if you go, just the example of giving the gift certificate, say, from Macy's, and picking, not for everybody, I don't mean little ones or who are picking a certain, they're waiting in their heart set on a certain gift, or, you know, there's certain, but I mean, there's ways to give such beautiful gifts and let somebody pick through it. A gift certificate may not be insulting at all if they're going to choose what they want, and then you pick out the most beautiful card, and say you have 10 people to do that for, and you make it special, and the amount of time that it saved you and that it felt good, and you still put this, it just, those types of things are so easy to do, and it takes the stress off of the whole situation, and it's just fun, you know, it's not
absolutely.
It's not so, you know, so I think we're just about out of time, so remember to check with your accountant and see what last minute write-offs you can take, and deferring certain incomes, making tax deductible or donate to charity, just other items that you can think of. If you have to get anything done, you may want to do it now if you have medical write-offs and deductions that haven't been used up by the end of the year.
Yeah,
and
do them now.
For them. Yeah.
Them now. That's good. Realty Universal Radio is the name of the show, and again, the website, realtyuniversal.com. Natalie Mullinex and Randy Zachary. And on the line, I believe, all the way from Maui in the state of Hawaii is Mr. David Allaire. He's the retired Senior Vice President of Hawaii Operations for TS Restaurants. And if you've been to Hawaii, you've been to a TS restaurant, let's just put it that way, Duke's, Kimo's, et cetera. And David Allaire on the line. Hey, aloha, my brother.
Aloha, Randy. How are you doing?
We're doing well, my friend. We are doing really well.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We're so happy to hear you.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm honored.
You know, here's the challenge, because we have 30 minutes, and this the way this Blog Talk Radio thing works, they cut us right off at 30. So I'll kind of you and I sat for probably 90 minutes one day at Kimo's as you shared the story. And I know there's so much. And the second half of the show, We love to talk about inspiration, motivation, success. And when I think success on so many levels, I think about you and, of course, the T.S. Restaurant story as well. And I know it's all really based on how you guys treat people and your faith, and it's all kind of wrapped up in there. So, David, I'd like to kind of start and really let you share as much of the time as possible. Let's start with how you ended up on Maui. I know you're a former Santa Barbara gaucho, and you graduated college. And how'd you end up over there?
Well, it was by great engineering and what I would call dumb luck. I kind of stumbled onto Maui. I think Maui called me. When I look back, there's a lot of definite moves that allowed me to come here. But I just was a guy that grew up in a little, the southernmost part of California, down in San Diego, a little place called Point Loma. Great place to grow up, and just a little neat little community in San Diego. Kind of was sleepy back then. I graduated from high school in the mid-60s, and I was a little surfer. And I got fairly good enough to get a little free surfboard from Greg Knoll, and had aspirations of coming right bigger and bigger waves. And, obviously got into Santa Barbara, UC, and was lucky enough to get in there. I took my daughters back there see if they wanted to go to UC, and I found out I'm not smart enough to get in that school anymore. So I was pretty lucky to get in when I did. California is beautiful, and Santa Barbara and San Diego are just two great spots. But, being a surfer, I really wanted to go surf, challenge myself and come to Hawaii. And plus, the water's a lot warmer.
Mm-hmm. All year long.
All year long. I said, I love San Diego. They say, why'd you leave? And I said, well, I'm sitting in Maui. Why'd I leave? And I said, this is San Diego's best day every day. So we got kind of lucky that way. I think you can intentionally move someplace if you want to. I think you owe it to yourself to move to the best possible location you can. And I didn't really have a job waiting for me, but I knew I could figure out to do once I got here. And God really opened some doors for me. I have to say, as you look back, it was very lucky and very fortunate and very blessed. But my senior year, I worked in a restaurant called the Chart House, and I met some really interesting people. And so one of the guys I met was from Hawaii. He said, well, why don't you come over and spend some time on Maui with me? We'll hike through the crater. I said, is it hot? Is there hot lava there? And he said, no, this one's cold. You're thinking about the big ice. I did. After graduation, worked a couple months, and then came to Maui, to the North Shore, Oahu, and then to Maui for about 3 months vacation. That was in 1970. And 3 months became 6 months, and 6 months became a year, and now it's been 42.
Wow.
So, I always thought if I could get enough money to get a plane ticket, I'd get out of here, but it seems like I was meant to stay. The other thing that happened was I met one of the most influential people in my life, a guy named Rob Tebow, when I was in college. In fact, I met him the summer before college, and he was going to Santa Barbara, and he said, come up and be my little brother in our fraternity, and I did, and met this guy, and he ended up being my best friend in life, my business partner, my boss, my mentor. I'm godparents to his kids. He's godparents to mine. And it was just this is the guy you need to get close to. And so he had gone, he was a year ahead of me in school, and got up to San Francisco, and amazing guy. We were all kind of looking at the restaurant business back then. It was kind of the up-and-coming business, and the restaurant, it wasn't your father's restaurants anymore. It was all these steakhouses coming up, and they were kind of new and exciting and fun. And Rob was the kind of guy that walked in and said, yeah, should I be waiter? And bartender looks good. And he looked around and he said, how did you get to be owner? And he was a real enterprising guy. And when he went up for 5 years, and I had gone to Maui, and he called me and he said, I'm coming to Maui. I think we're going to sell our company. And he had created a company of 12 restaurants throughout the nation called Rusty Scupper, and they sold it. And he wanted to come to Maui with me. Yeah, those were great restaurants. And so when he came into Maui in 1975, I showed him around. He said, well, let's start a restaurant. And I was waiting tables again at the Chart House there. And he said, let's put one together, and I'll teach you the restaurant business. And he ended up doing that. And he has his partner, a guy named Sandy Saxton. So it's Rob Tebow and Sandy Saxton are the T and the S of TS.
Oh.
And real smart guys. Sandy went to Stanford and graduated from law school. So he kind of knew the back end. Rob and I had the kind of personality and the energy on the front end. And we put our talents together and opened Chemo's in 1977. Right where you and I sat last summer.
So Kimo's is kind of the flagship of the TS chain, huh?
It was the number one restaurant. It was the one that we just wanted to go, and we kind of escaped California a little bit, quite frankly. In the 60s, there was a lot going on. The war, Vietnam was dividing the country, you remember or know, and there was, and then the old peace and love generation was starting to, like Gracie Slick said, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
Right.
It was a kind of a crazy time, and I was going, there's got to be a place that's a little bit more calm than this. And when I got to Maui, I felt that peace. I felt that calm.
Yeah.
And by the way, Maui back then, 42 years ago, was kind of like going to Tahiti or, Tierra del Fuego or something. There was no stoplights. There was hardly, you couldn't buy a pair of jeans in Lahaina. You had to go to Wailuku, and it was just a sleepy little place, and it just fit fine. It kind of almost goes back in time more than my college years. It just seems like it was farther back in time just because of the situation and the environment. But it was a wonderful time, once again, to get to a place early before it matured. And we felt when we opened up Kimo's finally that we knew the change was coming because people were discovering Maui. And rather be a victim of change, why don't we be part of that change, a positive part of it, an arbiter of change. And
ride wave, so to speak. Yeah,
right. Take off on the wave and ride it. We started opening restaurants around Maui because that's what we knew the best. And then we went to California, and we went to Tahoe, and we went to San Diego, all great places, on the lake in Tahoe, on the beach in San Diego. We really wanted to have, location was not lost on us.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we also knew that there's other people that had similar locations that might not have done as well as we have over the years because we had a couple other things going for us. You want me to keep talking?
You have a Duke's in, is it Huntington Beach or where is that? In California, and there's another Duke's, right?
We actually have five Duke's now. The original one was in Kauai. We opened in 89, and then the big daddy is in Waikiki. We opened that in 1992. That's right on the beach of Waikiki, and it's the busiest restaurant in the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, I've been there many times,
And one guy told me, he says, I remember walking in. As far as Duke's Huntington is concerned, we opened that in 1998, and it's been
really
very
okay.
Yeah, we have one in Malibu, and then we also have one on Maui now, and so we Kauai, Oahu, Maui, Malibu, and Huntington Beach.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Wow, man, oh man, that's just amazing. For those of you just tuning in, again, we're talking to David Allaire. And an amazing success story. Retired now, Senior Vice President of Hawaii Operations for TS Restaurants. And as we said, if you've been to Hawaii, you've been to a TS restaurant, believe me, because they are all over the place. And I'm looking at the website right now, hulapai.com. And
they're really good. I've had that over. I've had it at Duke's many times. That hula pie is wonderful.
Thank
you.
My goodness. Well,
we've had a lot of fun with Hula Pai over the years. And, when websites were coming up, we go, what's a website? We don't even know what that is. And we said, but we've got a good name for it. Why don't we go hulapai.what.com? Okay, register it. And I think that was back in, I don't know, that was back in 90, late 90s or something like that.
Right, wow.
And so we said we needed one. But you can also get on at dsrestaurants.com and all that kind of stuff. But that Hula Pai has been a favorite of everybody's, and I'm glad you had one.
Oh yeah,
people love them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, your atmosphere is so wonderful though at your restaurants. I've been to a couple of them, and you just really have that. How did you do that? Does everybody do this? I mean, the systems are put in place for each. I mean, how do you get that? Because it's always wonderful. I've never had a bad experience in any of your restaurants ever, and I've frequented many. So, of yours.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Unfortunately, we don't bat 1,000, but we're pretty high on that batting average. And I think one of the reasons is that, we just started out to do a really good restaurant and take care of people. And what we wanted to do is just, we're not in the restaurant business, or we're in the hospitality business. So anybody that comes into our restaurant, we want to treat them like a guest in our own home. So it's an attitude. And you have to kind of get ready for that. If you're going to have a party at your house, you better clean it up and get ready. And so what we want to do is we want to pick a really nice location, let's say right in Lahaina Town. in Maui or on the beach of Kaanapali. And we say that, you know, first of all, we'll pick this great location. People really do come for locations, great view. And then we build a really neat restaurant architecture that reflects the host culture, what's going on in the town, you know, and we have what we call a sense of place. You know, we want to reflect where we are. We want to, you know, just mirror the host culture and, you know, and food, and we have music in our restaurants and just the colors and the decor. You know, Kimo's looks like, really, we said Kimo was maybe a son of an old English whaler that had wrecked his boat on the reef, and they brought all the decor in and put it in Kimo's, and he married a Hawaiian wahine, and so we had some Hawaiian kind of things to it. And we have the thematics, you know. Only us know that, what's going on, but we just have a little kind of theme that we kind of hang our designs on, and then Hula Grill might be in Maui, in Kaanapali, might have been one of the last old homes that was there, a plantation home, so it reflects kind of a plantation era thing. And then you know, so in our restaurants in Tahoe have a mountain decor and reflect lake living and that sort of thing. So that's why you feel comfortable, and we want to be ambassadors of aloha to our locations. And when people ask us, you know, not where the best food is, but what's the best beach to go to, or where's what's Hana like, or where can I get a good fishing trip? We know. Our kids know. Our employees know. We can steer them the right way. And then we have super friendly service, and we're striving to be the friendliest restaurant company in America. You know, if all else fails, be nice and take care of the customer, like a guest, as we say. And then we have super friendly service, and we have high-quality food for a medium price. It seems to work.
No, absolutely. I mean, it totally works. And everybody, the staff and everybody, it's always been extremely pleasant, too. You know, that's like, I couldn't count how many times that being on Oahu, you know, I couldn't count how many times I've been to Dukes and Waikiki. You know, I mean, I couldn't count. It's just always been great. You know, and I travel quite a lot, so it means I have to frequent the restaurants and seminars, et cetera, and everything. And so you get to see it everywhere, you know, and there's certain, businesses that you always stand above, and then some that don't. I think what you're doing is great. But that philosophy didn't come from, that's something you all stick by and put it, you know, Randy was telling me a little bit about the history.
Yeah, it comes from the top, you know. It's like anything, whether it's sports, whether it's a culture of an athletic team, you know, they embrace the culture, really, of the coach, of the leader. And I know, boy, we could get off on some leadership stuff, and we just don't have the time. I do, David, in a moment want you to talk a little bit about your faith in Christ and how that, you know, has applied to your success and been a part of your success. But before we do, just a little bit of the leadership thing, and I got to experience a little bit of your leadership while on Maui last summer. Very first time I really ever, I think, met you or had any conversation with you was in a meeting where I was presenting a project, and you were the one who spoke up and kind of were asking some tough questions. And I remember 2 minutes into the conversation, I'm like, okay, this guy's either we're gonna end up being, you know, friends or not. And
no.
But you were asking the tough questions. But I remember when I left that meeting, you ended with something positive. I'll never forget that. And maybe you realized you'd been grilling me. I don't know. But you wanted to lead me with something positive as I walked out the door. And I remember you said, "Wow, I really like this." And you quoted something I had in the proposal. And I share all that to say, as I talked to you about that later, you told me that really is kind of the way you guys managed people as well, even employees, that, you know, it's a gift to be able to really grill somebody and yet have them leave feeling encouraged.
I need to learn how to do that with my people.
That's a gift, and I know you mentioned
it. It is a gift because it's hard to do. I mean, because you have to. Yeah, I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
So, David, yeah,
well,
talk about that.
Well, Randy, I appreciate that. I hope you just had light grill marks on you when you left.
I was
tanned. Yeah. Slightly tanned and looking good. You know, I think that was a great meeting. I really enjoyed your spirit and how much you really were behind and believed in your project. But I also wanted to ask some questions that. I didn't want you to go down a road that you hadn't considered before you started, spent too much time, too much energy. That's an entrepreneurial thing. You try to get the maximum effort out of the effect out of the least amount of effort and money, because you're going to give up time doing something else if you go down the wrong trail. So we always seek the truth and the accountability of a project before we start it, and if it's believable and if we believe in it and it passes a few tests, then we go forward just at speed. You know, we really believe in it, and I think we've always just sought the truth and we really want to get down to what's the upside and downside. If there's a lot of upside, let's go. If there's too much downside, maybe we ought to consider something else. It's just conserving your time and energy, and then it saves your that for when you really have a project you can believe in and just go full speed.
Makes a lot of sense. So,
So those are it's funny. My boss Rob Thibault, he's just a great people guy, and I loved him to death, and I followed his example. I hate to say that, but he did pass away.
Oh gosh.
And he was one of my best friends in life, and we'd accepted Christ well before that. And I took on his legacy after he passed away as president.
When did he pass away?
In 1998.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, and he was too young, but he was the type of guy that had lived two lifetimes before he died, since he was way too short. I know where he is, and we talked about where he's going to be. He was firmly rooted in Christ and a believer, and we talked about a lot of those things. But we just love people, and we said this is a fun business to be in. It's we're people are a lot happier than if we were like say in the mortuary business. It just seems like they're coming into a restaurant. And we said from a job well done, profit will follow. And if you have fun doing what you do, you're really not working. You're just and we're taking care of our employees. Our employees love working for TS. Our managers, all of our managers are buying houses and have great incomes and are parts of the community, and they're coaching and working active in charities and schools.
That's fantastic.
And we're rooted into our communities. I mean, I ran Chemos for 16 years before I became vice president and senior vice president. And a lot of our guys have been at the helm of their restaurants. And some companies kind of rotate them around every couple of years, but we like the guys to become part of the community if they want to.
Yeah.
There's an attrition rate because not everybody makes it, but everybody knows who the manager of our various restaurants are, and they go to them, and we do a lot of community stuff. They ask us for a lot, and we respond. But that's the way we like to do it. But Robert used to say, you can fire a guy. I saw a guy walking out and shaking your hand and saying thank you. I said, what happened? I said, I just let the guy go. He goes, well, he looked happy. I go, well, I told him there was marvelous opportunities in other fields.
That's
so
a gift,
there's
man.
A way to handle people even in bad situations.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's
we
want to
encourage people.
Absolutely. Hey, there's so much to talk about. I know you're part of the Lahaina Restoration Foundation, but even really more important than that at this point, maybe we can get you back on the show, is talk about a little bit. You mentioned your faith in Christ. Talk about that a little bit, how you came to faith in Christ and how that really shaped what you guys did with the restaurants.
Well, thank you. And I would love to talk about our little restoration foundation sometime, because we're doing some great things for the history of Maui. And we all need to remember our cultural and historical wisdom. So that'd be great of a show. But, the Lord had me in high school a little bit, and I knew about God, and I was going through campus life, and I always wanted to kind of learn more about the Bible. And then went to college, and, college in the 60s, you sort of take a little vacation from all that stuff. And then as I got back, we'll fast forward. And then as we, as I got to Maui, you look around, and we were starting to get successful, but there was still an emptiness. I'd gotten married. I just had a baby daughter, and I was going, Lord, it's just not all success and money, and the restaurant business is fun, and, there's always some partying going on and stuff. And really my wife was really searching out a church, and I had my current pastor was living behind me, and he was the guy that I grew up with, and he was praying for me, and we had a bunch of other people praying for me, and I heard the Lord calling me with these little voices and stuff, and finally he just sort of snagged me, and he said, you want to know kind of the truth when you get a little older. Why am I here? What are the basic questions?
Exactly.
Where did I come from? Really, where does that come from? What's the truth about that? What am I supposed to do now that I'm here? How am I supposed to live, and how am I supposed to treat other people? And where am I going when I leave, And Christianity just answered those questions so clearly and so completely. I just said, what am I waiting for? and I just accepted the Lord, and we had always run our business with respect for the individual, and we knew that we wanted to take good care of every one of our customers, not just the celebrities, but the grandmas and the and everybody that came in would get equal treatment, and we would just would take care of our employees. We treat the one we liked the best, and we wouldn't over-treat them as but the one we didn't like the most, and, you know, we try to be fair and equitable. But when we got Christianity, it all put it in context. It's the way Christ wants it. It's the way
exactly.
God wants it.
Yes.
And we go, it was kind of one of those head slappers. And you go, this is what we've been looking for. This fills the void. This
wow.
is why we do things. And this, and you know, because we did that, and because we tried, and we failed a lot, and we did some, we made some mistakes. But you can unmake mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. You can make a decision, and if it's a bad one, don't be afraid to make a bad decision because you just unmake it and go the other way.
Yep.
But the Lord blessed us. We have these properties. How did we get all these beachfront properties in Hawaii? Who knows except for divine providence.
Yeah.
And he liked what we're doing. He's blessed our company, and we really give him most of the credit on that.
Wow. Well, David Blair again joining us, and he's, again, retired now, Senior Vice President of Hawaii Operations for TS Restaurants, and we'll kind of talk a little bit. We still have, it looks like, about 6 minutes or so. So let's talk about the Lahaina
I was just going to ask you about that. How do we get more information to help? Cause
talk about that a little bit.
Lahaina
we do quite a lot of business on the island. So.
Oh, good. Well, thank you.
Huh?
LahainaRestoration.org.
Okay.
It's a neat, we're in our 50th year. It started out with a little bit of, when Maui, I don't know if everybody knows that the development, the two golf courses and the strip of beach at Kaanapali was the very first destination resort on the planet. And it was started in the 60s, and it was just such a great beach, and there's area for golf courses and just, you know, views of island, of Lanai and Molokai. And it was 3 miles from a very historic town, Lahaina, and it just seemed to fit. And so the developers were a group called Amfac that,
mm-hmm.
that had most of the sugarcane over here. And they gave... they knew that there were some kind of very significant buildings in Lahaina. The Baldwin home where the missionaries came, there was a Siemens Hospital, there was the old courthouse, the fort, the prison, all this sort of stuff, but they were in kind of disarray and dilapidation. So they gave about $10,000 in seed money to spruce up Lahaina. So there would be another reason for people to come once they went to the resort and, you know, played golf and went to the beach and ate in a hotel restaurant to kind of go down to Lahaina for a little, you know, historic or ecotourism, as they call it today. It was a really good idea, and it was only 3 miles away, so it was very proximate. And so the foundation was formed with some really, really neat people, far-thinking people, and it just started kind of going, you know, through the years. We've gotten more properties. We've gotten funds to restore them. And now we have 15 major properties that have to do with the wine monarchy and the missionaries, and Lahaina was capital of the Kingdom of Hawaii until 1840, and then of course the sugarcane era, now the tourism era. So we kind of highlight all those eras by artifacts, and we try to bring them to life. We have tours of the Baldwin home. You can have dinner in the Baldwin home. We like the missionaries did 100 years ago. We do that twice a year, and just some really neat things. And we're sort of lifting history off the pages. And it's really inspiring for the people who live there, especially the kids, know the history of their town and where they came from. And so, you know, we keep telling them, you know, if you hang around long enough, you become part of history. So, you know,
for your
community, and people might remember it. So we're just trying to bring that to life. Lahaina, Maui is a fabulous town. It's not only the weather
and
the setting, but it's got a great history. And we just want to portray that and show that to people in a great way. And it's a lot of Christian history as well. So that's really fun for me, too.
Yeah, well, I remember standing with you underneath the smokestack there as you guys got that whole that area restored and just had a big celebration with that. And that's cool, the big smokestack that was part of the part of the mill, yeah.
Yeah, and then we got donated two little locomotives. The Lahaina and the Lamiapoco got donated back to us, and so we brought those and they're on display rails there in a real nicest way now, and we brought them back up to speed with all their original markings and bells and lights and all that stuff. So it's fun. It's fun for kids. It's fun for people to go around and just check all that stuff out.
Well, my goodness, I knew this would fly by. We still have a couple of more minutes. I just want to remind folks you're listening to our conversation with David Allaire, and he's retired now, but was the Senior Vice President of Hawaiian Operations for TS Restaurants. We've said it before, and if you've been to Hawaii, you've been to one of their restaurants, or in California, if you've been to a Duke's. And as I look at the website here, I see, like you said, there's one in Tahoe City, there's a Jake's in Del Mar, Sandy's Beach and Grill in Huntington Beach, Duke's on the Pier in Huntington Beach, Duke's in Malibu, been to both of those. And then, of course, all the Duke's, Waikiki, Kauai, of course, in Kanapali, and on and on and on. So, you mentioned something about a philosophy, and I thought that was interesting, you know, about hula pie. I mean, because honestly, you guys have hulapie.com, so that's really a kind of a flagship, you know, component. Now, do you have hula pie in all of the restaurants? Is that something that's kind of a mainstay in all of the restaurants?
Yeah, it's our signature dessert. It's so much fun.
It's very good. I can taste it right now. It's extremely good.
We invented that in our little condominium out in Kanakawai back in 1977 on our little counter there. We tried a bunch of different ice creams and crust and all that stuff. We came up with that Oreo cookie crust.
That's when you did it. Wow.
And so I'm proud to say I had a bite of the very first hula pie, and
wow,
it tasted great and still does.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of fun with that one.
Well, I know, and I know because, you know, having lived there, I know there's this real kind of, you know, kind of health food culture as well there. But you were talking about your success, you know, with the restaurants is, you know, you can tell people what they should eat or you can provide them what they want.
But we have so many places to run there, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You can still get out and exercise.
Well,
yeah.
like the waitress said when I was working as a manager at Kimo's, and she walked by and they said, "Is that fattening?" They said, "No, we take all the calories out and give it to the managers."
Oh, man.
That's cute.
Well, David, again, I am so thankful that you came on, and I would love to get you back. When I heard the story, I knew that at some point, you know, it needed to be told, and I know it has been, but it's an amazing story of success and faith in God and all of that mixed together. And I'm so thankful that our paths have crossed, and looking forward to, you know, more of that in the future. But thanks so much again for taking the time.
Thank you for coming on, and we'll definitely look into lahainarestoration.org too.
Well,
that's,
thank you both for that. Thank you for your show, and I'm honored to be here. And like you said, Randy, we've got to give all the credit to Christ, because you know, without him we couldn't do anything. But he's provided it all, and you know, and then we provide the hard work and use our gifts and talents. But you guys are great. I was listening to your show, and I'd like to like your segment on how to take the stress out of Christmas. Thank you for that, because people need that. And just thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you so much. God bless you, too.
Thanks, Brad.
And it's wonderful.
Okay,
we get cut off shortly, unfortunately, so we're going to hopefully I'll talk soon. Well, hopefully I'll talk soon, and I want to wish everybody out there peace.
All right. Take care. God bless, and bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.